Welcome to,
or welcome back to,
Dark Room Reviews. My name is Ginger.
And I'm Matt.
Concluding our horrorific Halloween Classics month.
It's amazing that it's gotten this fast.
Has it? Or is it slow? Or is it quick? I don't know.
I don't know. Each person perceives this time differently.
I don't know time in this crazy COVID world we're living in. We'll be discussing the slasher that started all slashers, and it happens to share a name with the amazing holiday that we're approaching.
Halloween.
This is John Carpenter's 1978 original classic that really started and popularized the slasher horror genre. We're going to really pull apart the film and try to share some of the more intricate info on the film before giving you our thoughts and the score.
So let's dive right in.
Well, you may be asking, who are we? I'm an airline pilot by day.
Sometimes.
Prior to 2020.
I think I've flown planes more than you have.
Yeah, probably not at all in the rest of 2020. And a self-proclaimed film buff by night, particularly of the horror variety.
Have you had much time to watch some horror movies right now?
I don't know. For some reason, I just have all this free time. I don't know what that is.
Weird.
Anybody else experiencing that? Yeah.
Nah.
I'm always searching for the next great horror film or horror love in my life. Never fully satisfied with what I find. And that basically led us to starting this podcast.
And as you know, opposite to Ginger, I didn't fly planes prior to 2020, even though I tried. It's not going too well. But I originally have a background in music for film and television. Even working on horror series myself, going on back to my Walking Dead and other 10 Cloverfield Lane days. Mm-hmm. But because of working in the film industry, and especially, well, you'll see in this movie in particular, sometimes my eye for catching technical errors and glaring other things I don't appreciate really kind of ruins the movie for me, and I'm a bit of a movie buzzkill. So it's hard for me to kind of enjoy them and get past those issues. I guess that means
the great debate lives on.
This 1978 classic, I wasn't even around then, neither of us were. But it does star Jamie Lee Curtis, who I actually got to meet at an event at my college, by the way. She's a really nice person.
Yeah.
She plays Lori. Donald Pleasence as Loomis. Is he Dr. Loomis?
Dr. Loomis.
Yes. Nancy Keyes, I'm sorry, as Annie. PJ Souls as Linda. Nick Castle and Tony Mourne as Michael Myers. We'll get into that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Cyphers as Sheriff Lee Brackett. In addition, there are a few other smaller characters and actors in this movie. There's just so many kids and extras that we're not going to go into, but these are the main actors and main characters. Mm-hmm. This movie essentially revolves around the character Michael Myers. Again, if you don't know who this person is at this point, like, what are you doing watching our podcast? Watching? You can't watch a podcast.
what are you doing listening to our podcast?
So this movie just really starts off with Michael Myers and rotates around him, and he's the one that really kind of kicks off this film. So let's just jump right in, and we'll kind of go in along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Halloween.
Okay.
Who hasn't seen this movie?
Yeah.
It's just such iconic from beginning to end.
Yeah. So we could sit here. Our normal method is to kind of tear it apart scene by scene, talk about the plot. But, I mean, come on, folks. We all probably know this plot. So essentially, what happens is you open up on an old scene, 1963, and it's little kid Michael Myers killing a girl,
mm-hmm. the babysitter at the home with him. But you don't realize that until the end. We'll get into the technical bits of that in a second.
Yeah. So after that intro, then it kind of flash forwards to several years later. Then we're in 1978, and it's still in the same general area.
This is all supposed to take place in Illinois.
Yes. Supposed to take place in Illinois.
Again, we'll get to that. Again, we're just going to give you a brief overview here, and then we're going to jump into kind of our thoughts here.
Yeah, so essentially what happens, there's a psychiatrist, that's Dr. Loomis. He's doing this whole prison transfer thing of a particular prisoner that you get very early on is very, very dangerous. he's got a nurse with him, and she's kind of underestimating the situation. Actually, everybody underestimates the situation except for this doctor.
And even him to an extent later, again.
Yeah, we'll get into those issues. So they're trying to do this prison transfer, and the guy breaks free. And then this doctor basically makes it his kind of mission, lazy mission, to warn people that this guy, Mike Myers, is extremely dangerous and sick and twisted.
Yes, and is essentially going to go back and kill people in Haddonfield, where Illinois. The original thing happened.
Exactly.
And that he has this weird attachment to the date, October 31st yes. of Halloween.
Yes.
So, shockingly enough, that happens, and he kills a bunch of people, and the only person that kind of fights him off is Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
Yes.
Lori.
Yes.
And, you know, she's kind of the lone survivor here of yes, this. Yes,
exactly. But in true Hollywood horror classics, Mike Myers, at the very end of the movie, even though he is stabbed, he's pushed out of a window, he's shot at several times. Oh, no, he gets up and...
He's fine. He just walks away.
He walks away. So it is one of those cliffhanger movies that certainly leaves it open for sequels. And oh, my God.
The number of sequels.
I think there are 5 sequels. True sequels. Nope, I'm wrong. 6? There are 6 true sequels. And then there's, of course, the final kind of wrap-up of everything.
Yes.
And that one is actually, I will say...
To be honest, I like it a little bit better than the original.
Same. I like it better than the original. However, what I can say from this whole thing, we're going to get into the whole scene by scene. Upon revisiting the old movie, it's not great. Like,
well, and this is where we're going to really discuss, mm-hmm. is it really good or is it nostalgic good?
It's nostalgic. Shocking.
That's our viewpoint.
I know. I'm a full believer now that, like, when I'm really trying to sit here and critique these movies, I can't honestly say that this is a good movie. It's just okay. And the only person who's acting is, like, good in any kind of way is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And she is good. I will say, yes. Like, she is good. But, like, oh, man, her fellow castmates are...
Whew, it's a little rough sometimes.
Oh, it's a little rough.
Before we get too ahead of ourselves, let's kind of roll it back to the beginning so we can kind of give everyone a bit of a, you know, up to speed of a little bit of a scene by scene of kind of our issues and critiques about what we kind of thought about this movie.
Now we're going to get into kind of like some of the likes and dislikes.
So, opening scene, I do kind of like the credits first.
Yeah, yep.
That's a whole thing.
I like the credits. I like the theme music.
Theme
I think
is
it's
good.
Really interesting.
And musically, I like it. Mm-hmm. It goes places you don't like. It has an odd time signature for those music nerds out there. It's in a 5/4 time signature. So it's not your typical 4/4 time, and it's got an extra little hiccup in there, making it a little bit off.
Which makes it sound weird.
What I don't like, but again, this is more of a... This was cool for the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Synths. Oh, my God.
The synths.
The 70s and 80s, they really love their synths.
Yeah.
They want their synths back. The 80s want it back, and they want it now, and they need to stay there.
Yes.
That's my main critique about it, is the overuse of synths. The piano is actually really good. I like the piano score to it. It's creepy. They do some cool effects.
Right.
Even some of the more sustained notes, synth effects, that kind of almost sound like strings, like synth strings, those are I'm good with, but I mean... Ooh, they're screaming 80s.
Yeah, they're present. They're there.
And for those of you that didn't know, John Carpenter, who directed the movie, also wrote the music.
Thoughts on that?
My overarching complaint, I'll get to this a little bit later too with kind of individual scenes, but my overall complaint with it is it doesn't vary enough.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of wrote like 4 themes and then just kind of smatter them in different scenes. And I find this is the problem when you have directors that also do music. They think that they can do everything, but then kind of everything, like one thing kind of has to give.
Right.
That's kind of been my experience working with certain directors too, has been like, when directors try to tell you how to manage your stuff too much, sometimes it's like they just can't get what they want, so they kind of have to settle for something different, or something has to give, and it doesn't work out the way they originally envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
That is a little tough, too. I don't necessarily know if this is the case for this, but, I mean, it seemed like the storyline in the movie was more important than the overarching score, mm-hmm. because it just kind of seemed like there was the Halloween theme, mm-hmm. there was the piano theme, and there That's were, like, it. Two other themes, and that was about it. And you're like, oh, yeah. it's that cue again mm-hmm. that we're just going to play 8 times.
Yeah. The other thing that I didn't like that you pointed out that yes. gets really obvious is they use music to be like, hey, audience, look over there, the da-da-da! Like, the really obvious thing, right?
Oh, and they're super loud, too.
Yeah, and it's so much creepier if you just notice the person in the background.
Oddly enough, they only didn't illuminate a thing mm-hmm. once
yeah.
in the entire film, and that's at the very end where yeah. he rises up for, like, the third time.
Yeah.
And in the background, it kind of creepily walks over, which I find is even more creepy because yes. every other time you see him, like, in the reflection, it's like, bring
yeah
and he's there and it's like yeah. okay yeah we got it he's there you yeah, just
we get it you ruined just, it with the weird music cue
you just rang a doorbell and we're like let Mike Myers in please
yeah So in the opening scenes in the 1963 scenes where young Mike Myers is being poorly babysat by the couple the teenagers.
Well, and they're off, I think it's one sex. Teenager.
Yeah.
That happened to invite the teenage boyfriend.
Yes. So.
Sorry, side tangent. What is it with, like, American movies being like, all high schoolers have sex all the time and do drugs?
Yeah, and you know what? I can honestly say I read a really interesting statistic about this. So, it's really funny because if you watched just movies based on American and even just North American culture, you would think that teens are having sexual, like, intercourse or even experiences from a really young age. And yes, some are, and we're not
here to say that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, we're not here to say that that doesn't happen. It does happen. But it doesn't actually happen at the rate that it is depicted in media. Which,
like,
is really
interesting. Every movie or TV show in the States is, like, a group of kids, and, like, at least half of them have boyfriends and are trying to sneak away to have sex and go party and drink alcohol.
And we're certainly not saying that that...
And we wonder why the U.S. has a binge drinking problem and their legal drinking age is so high.
Yeah. So we're certainly not saying that, like, that doesn't happen. We're not saying that, like, teenagers don't have sex. They do. But it's almost portrayed too much in the other direction. There's actually a really cool blind study done in a number of American high schools. Remember we were talking about this?
Yeah, I remember that.
And essentially they had pulled these students being like, it's completely anonymous. No one will know. Your parents will not know. We just want you to answer honestly. Do you feel the way that they represent, like, teenagers is accurate, especially in relation to, like, sexual activity? And most... It was like 90% or more were, like, resounding, like, no, like, I didn't kiss a person until this age, and I'm not sexually active, and, like, it is actually less than we think. So, yeah, movies do have this tendency.
I just find that odd,
that
even
kids.
Especially in this classic, it's like, mm-hmm. I wonder where that started. Maybe we can find that out and put that in another podcast as to, like, what started that idea.
Yeah. They're just making it seem like everyone does, and the one person who doesn't is, like, the weird outcast, and it's like...
That's Jamie Lee Curtis in this movie.
Yeah, that's Jamie Lee Curtis in this movie. She's, like, the goody-two-shoes, totally nerdy, mm-hmm. has never had a boyfriend, that kind of girl. She's very, very smart and just responsible and everything.
Aside from that side tangent, back to our opening scene, I actually do like this. For those of you, again, that haven't seen this, don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But... They do a really cool POV, and this is actually kind of classic of John Carpenter. He makes a lot of use of, like, walking around, giving different points of perspective, and especially when Steadicam came out, he was a big user of the Steadicam technology and giving people that kind of moving point of view technique. It's really cool, and I would say this is kind of the first film, horror slasher film, that really does that to kind of get you into the character.
So the only thing I don't like about it is I think it's neat when the... From Mike Myers, like, the kid's perspective.
I think they went too cheesy with it.
Well, you can see him putting on the little Halloween mask, and I think that's cool because it has the cutout of the mask, and so you very much get that you're in his position, right? There's no confusion about that.
Yep.
But what I don't like is the weird motion that the camera goes in when he is stabbing the girl, because why is he looking up? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, that just doesn't... Nobody would... I don't know. I don't know. I've never stabbed somebody, but, like... I'm guessing you would be looking at them to for it aim. Depend.
Well,
just
either,
for aim.
Either looking or completely not looking.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, do you watch much Criminal Minds?
I watch Criminal Minds.
Never mind. There's a couple episodes in there where people, like, you know, can't watch. They don't look at them.
I know, but then it's just not natural to put your head up to not look. I could understand if he was looking to the side.
And, like, is attempting to stab.
And, like, in front of him.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think... They're not trying to portray him as, like, having a problem with seeing people.
No, well, I mean, especially later in the movie. He seems to have absolutely no problem with that.
Yeah, they're trying to portray him as this, like,
almost
evil...
evil, emotionless, heartless person.
Yeah, so then he wouldn't be the person that's going to look away from a victim.
Oh,
he doesn't
also,
care.
I cannot stand the voice acting.
Oh, the voice... Yeah.
We will have to find a clip of it and try to insert it here.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
I mean, what was that? Like,
It's really? Not good. Yeah, it's not good.
And now the weirdest part out of all of this is after he kills them, there's just weird bits that I don't care for. It's like, mm-hmm. Then he walks out of the house and the parents come home and they're just like, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
And they just stand there.
Yeah.
No, we're like with a knife in
He's
his hand.
He's holding
a bloody
giant
knife.
No, it's not just a knife. It's not just a bloody knife. It's a giant bloody knife. I would be very concerned.
Oh, and the parents just stand there while the entire camera just slowly pans out.
Yeah, and it's like an
awkwardly long scene, and you're just like, is
okay.
No one gonna do anything?
But at the very least, as a parent, you'd be like, "What's wrong? Why are you holding this? Did you hurt yourself? Is that real blood? You know what I mean? There'd be so many questions.
Yeah.
So. Super awkward response from the parents, and it's just not natural. At the very least, even if they
did want to do that long shot out, at least put some background, like, are you okay? What has happened? Is everything okay? Why aren't you saying anything? Like, if they just had some weird dialogue, or not weird dialogue, but just some dialogue,
yeah,
to show that there's some, like, even if he just stands there and there's some chaos kind of going behind him, that'd almost be more realistic.
Well, I'm sorry, but you would have questions.
There would be a lot of questions.
Yeah, like, what's going on? Talk to us. Even if all you could hear in the background was just like, why aren't you answering us? Why aren't you talking to
us?
Or
you just saw the parents running in and you don't really hear much sound after that. It turns into soundtrack. Again, there's many things you can do to not necessarily have dialogue. So, I don't know. That one just was just like,
it irked
Michael,
me.
And they just stand there.
Literally, that was it.
That was it. And then
Michael?
It's like, and just watching them.
That was it. Just staring.
I guess better than bad acting, but anyway,
it was
now,
pretty bad.
Now we're getting into present day 1978.
Yes.
In Smiths Grove, Illinois, and it is October 30th. What
of
a coincidence!
Of course it is.
So now this is again, as you mentioned, the psychiatrist, the doctor, and the nurse are going to see him.
Yeah.
In prison, and mm-hmm. all we know is they keep saying him, and you're kind of catching on very quickly that this is Mike Myers.
You're assuming that it's the same kid.
So now, this is the only thing I don't like about this, and I feel like the new movie does a lot better job about this, is it's mm-hmm. kind of like, it gets hokey. So the whole thing that happens is you start to see these people kind of wandering out in the road, kind of, you know, Walking Dead style,
mm-hmm.
and the nurse is like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And the psychiatrist doctor guy is like, I already know something's wrong. Stay in the car.
Yeah.
But then, like, she unlocks the doors and lowers the windows and all these things that you shouldn't be doing.
It's a silly comedy of errors, like, that lead up to basically this nurse getting killed by...
I don't think she gets killed, but she gets dragged out of the car.
She gets killed. Doesn't she?
No, I thought she gets dragged out.
Oh, I can't remember.
Because remember, she kind of gets up and then meets up with the doctor again?
Oh, yeah.
But essentially, like, she gets attacked in the car because she rolled down the fucking window like an idiot.
Yeah, like an idiot.
And...
Well, first of all, no. Hold on. We have to back up fully. Doctor gets out of the car. She stays in the car. And literally, Mike Myers... But
climbs on the roof and she hears it and is like...
Climbs on the roof of her car and she hears it and sees it. And I'm like, lock the doors.
Lock the doors, leave the window shut.
No, what does she do?
She rolls down the window. She
doesn't lock the doors and rolls down the window.
And she's like, who's up there?
And it's like, oh my God, you're
an idiot. And then on top of that, he, of course, tries to take her out of the car. Mm-hmm. And she panics and starts, like, messing around with the pedals and making the car go everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
And it's just, it's supposed to be scary, but it's coming off as just kooky and silly.
It is very silly. It's just not how
eventually normal. She just stops the car and gets dragged out, and yeah. I don't think she gets killed. She may have, but I don't think she does.
No, you're right. She doesn't get killed. She's just injured.
And then now you have all these people at the jail. They're just wandering around. I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, jail meets mental hospital.
I think it's jail meets mental hospital. Okay. Because
I would think that if it's just a jail, why are those people just kind of, like, walking around? I think they all would have run away by that point.
They were all in, like hospital clothes. Like, hospital gowns and stuff. It's clearly a place for, like, the criminally insane.
Yeah.
Right?
So this psychiatrist has been kind of working with Michael Myers and has basically been, like, he's fucked.
Yeah.
He's just royally fucked. He's insane, dangerous.
Well, at a later point in the movie, he describes him as, I spent the first 7 years trying to get through to him, and then the last 7 years basically making sure that he never got out.
Yeah.
Because the guy's trying to impress upon everybody that he's just pure evil. Okay. Which, I do have an issue with that. What psychiatrist would legitimately think that?
Right.
Yeah, that is very odd to me. Revisiting this movie now, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't track for a psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist never call someone evil. They would usually try to call them severely unstable to that they would damage themselves or others.
Or he would say something like, this person is a pure psychopath. And yes. They have no possibility of rehabilitation. Like, I would have preferred if he'd used almost like a more serious clinical term.
Unfortunately, what clinical science was there in psychiatry that really stemmed out of mental illness in the late 70s?
I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, yeah.
Basically, like, if you were maybe schizophrenic, they could figure that out, but even that was spotty
at best for diagnosis. You're right, so... I suppose
it is. And unfortunately, I don't think they did a ton of research on their psychology knowledge for this movie.
Yeah. It's too bad because had this movie been made right now, it would have been different.
It would have. And unfortunately, those issues were not as relevant or important then. Not saying they aren't important. They are 100% important.
They're very important.
But... And it just kind of really shows the lack of that support in the time.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Here we are.
So after all this, Mike Myers escapes. As, you know, after the whole comedy of errors in the car gets stolen.
Yeah, which I'm not a fan of this whole scene.
No. And now we're back to Haddonfield on Halloween.
Of course.
Of course.
Obviously.
What other day do you think this movie takes place on?
Yeah. There is only one choice.
So now we start getting introduced to the main characters. We see Laurie kind of getting on her way to school, and you can tell that her dad's a real estate agent because he asked her to, like, drop the keys to the Myers house because someone's interested in selling it or in buying it because it's been up for sale.
Forever.
You learn later that it's been for sale forever because everyone thinks it's haunted. And you realize now that it kind of is haunted because he just kind of shows up there.
Yeah.
Every Halloween.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, music jump scares in here. Yeah, I'm not fans of them. And again, they always lead to things. Like, they're always, like, da-da-da,
yeah,
da, or something like that, and it's just very abrupt. I'm not a fan of that.
No, it's again, it is scarier to have silence or almost no music at all and to just have things us, the audience, in the background. Notice, oh my God, there's a person standing there, holy crap,
and like they don't know it, they don't see it, right? Yeah,
that's way
because scarier. You know something's gonna happen in some capacity, you just don't know when.
Yeah, otherwise this is, it's just pure cheese.
Yeah, and like again, jump scares get you only for the fact that they're loud.
Yeah, that's about it's it. Loud. The fact that you're sitting in a quiet room and then it gets really loud, yes, that makes you jump, but like it's not a good scare, it's a cheap scare.
Yeah. So now we're back in class, the Laurie, Jamie Lee Curtis character, she's in class, and she repeatedly sees Mike Myers out of the window watching.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing I don't care for as much, is like, you either see him there not doing anything, or you don't see him at all.
Yeah.
It's very weird. They don't actually ever show him behind the scenes, like, where he went.
No.
And I feel like as an audience member, that'd be kind of cool to know.
It's cool, but, like, it's a direction. Like, they're not really... I guess you're supposed to be questioning it.
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this kind of brings us into, like, you know, the unhuman villain, so to say, or horror person. Like, yeah. These people are so unhuman that they kind of just disappear.
Yeah.
Or can't be killed.
They cease to exist when you're not seeing them. Like, right? They're just not really, well, and
that's
like,
kind
people.
Of, that's kind of what's going on here, because, like, Mike Myers really only exists on Halloween.
I know.
Other than that, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's strange.
And one of my favorite scenes after the class where the kid, like, is being bullied.
Yeah.
It's like instant karma scene. I love it.
Yeah.
So these kids are very poorly making fun of this other kid who's also a nerdy kid who Lori is supposed to be babysitting later. And he's holding a giant pumpkin because they want to do jack-o'-lantern carving for Halloween.
Boogeyman is coming.
Leave me alone. He doesn't believe us. Don't you know what happens on Halloween?
Yeah, we get candy.
Boogeyman, ooh, the boogeyman, the boogeyman, the boogeyman, the boogeyman, the boogeyman, the boogeyman.
And these kids kind of make fun of him and
tell him the boogeyman's gonna get him,
and like they're all doing it in unison, which never happens. And
no, which no grouping of kids has ever done.
And of course the kid falls and smashes the pumpkin.
Yeah.
No relation to the band.
I missed that.
You missed that for
I
a
missed
second.
That joke.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Good job.
But then instantly Myers walks up through the courtyard and, like, bumps into one of the kids. Mm-hmm. And the kids get, like, instantly terrified because they just made fun of the other kid for being, like, afraid of the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what you get, kid.
Yeah.
Scaring these kids.
Yeah.
It's not nice.
Yeah.
You might have gotten killed by Myers. You don't know.
We don't know. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to find out. Update, he doesn't die.
No.
So, now we're getting into kind of some Jaws-like territory. So the psychiatrist is now trying to warn everyone about Myers, saying how dangerous he is and all these things. What I don't get, though, so here's the thing.
He warns them so poorly.
Who does he call? Like, no one.
Well, so he finally tracks, at one point he finally tracks down the...
The car, or one of the cars that was used.
Yep, the car that was used. So he's basically doing all this footwork himself, which I'm like, weird.
So that's weird, number one. But I'm also like, why is he doing this by himself? Why didn't he just call the police when he found that everyone was loose?
Yeah. I
don't know about that one. And then at the end of it, only contacts like one sheriff.
Yes.
To be like, you might want to look for him.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. And then finally, when the sheriff starts questioning it a little bit, he's like, hey, do you want me to call for backup? And he's like, no, I don't want Myers to start...
Do you want me to alert the media and, like, cancel Halloween?
Yeah, and he's like,
do you know what it's like to have Halloween canceled?
Stop.
Those of you who live in Ontario, you'll understand.
Yeah.
Well, specifically Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, according to them, it's not canceled. It's just modified. Anyways.
Really?
Yeah, that's the new thing now.
Oh, I hadn't heard that part of it. I hadn't heard that verbiage.
Yeah, that's the verbiage now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Continuing on.
Okay, so, yeah, so basically at one point this sheriff decides, like, hey, I guess it is sounding a little bit more serious. Do you want me to call for backup, alert the media, cancel Halloween? And still, the psychiatrist is like, no, I don't want to alert. He doesn't want to alert Myers that they're on to him. And I'm like, that is so backwards. Like, that is so ass backwards.
Right?
Just, yeah, get everybody on it. Track this guy down before he starts killing people.
Also, one thing overarching that I've noticed that is particularly around this part of the movie, the ADR, the dialogue replacement.
Oh, man, it's so bad.
Oh, it's poor. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's part of the digital conversion. It could be that. But, especially for that time, really ADR was relatively new.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell from the acting as well, because you can tell that what they're doing voice acting wise is not what they're entirely doing on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. And that's where, you know, modern acting has come such a long way, because they got to prep you for both these things.
Yep.
Again, I mentioned this in previous podcasts. For those of you that don't know, ADR stands for automatic dialogue replacement, and it is no way automatic at all. Essentially, what happens is you film the entire movie, and because there's so much noise on the actual set while you're filming, they really can't use your dialogue that you said while you were using the film, while we were shooting the film. So, for instance, say you said, "I love you, my darling," in the scene that you did like 4,000 times. Mm-hmm. Once you finally get the cut of the film, you go back into a soundproof studio and you re-record all of your dialogue lines. And you have to do your best to try to sync it up. And if it doesn't sync up, that's where clever editing comes into play, where they kind of do different cuts. That's why you have old over-the-shoulder cuts, where then someone else's back is facing so you don't see their lips moving.
Yeah. Some of the original will get used sometimes.
Yes.
Especially
during this time.
Yes.
Not so much now.
No.
At one point, it was, you were able to just replace a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But it's now common practice to replace almost all of it.
Well.
Virtually all of it.
I mean, there's a reason why everything sounds perfect in a new movie, right?
Yes.
Like, there's a reason why you don't hear any weird background noises, you don't hear any...
Everything's purposeful.
Yeah.
Everything is there where it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
And it's shot in a way that can cleverly hide these things so they don't line up perfectly.
Yeah. And, like Matt was saying, like, yeah, over-the-shoulder shots are a thing for a reason.
Whenever you have two people talking to each other, that's why they switch from one to the other. It's not to make it look like you're talking to them. It's to hide the ADR. So that way they can, if it doesn't line up, just flip over the other person.
Yeah, exactly.
It's totally fine. That's how you fix that problem.
Yep.
As I mentioned, this movie, it is either not synced properly, so things are not exactly lining up with their mouths, or on top of it, the acting that is on screen is not quite the same. Like, you can tell the acting on scene is either really good or bad, but then the voice acting is usually worse.
Yeah.
So it just kind of missed the mark for me there.
Yeah. Also, by this point, you were essentially picking out immediately that this is not Illinois at all. Where is this?
This was entirely filmed in the greater Los Angeles area.
Yes.
And I only know this because I can read LA street signs and know where they are.
Yeah.
I'm like, Genesee Avenue? That's in like West Hollywood.
Yeah. So part of it, the residential parts were in, it looks like it was shot in West Hollywood.
West Hollywood and Pasadena.
And Pasadena. And then, yeah, the little downtown, because it was so cute, that little downtown
street was in Pasadena.
And
other than that, it was just on film lot.
Yeah, and other than that, we saw palm trees in the background.
I remember I watched, there was like one scene where they're like driving down the street and I'm like, pause, there's palm trees in the background.
And I was like, yep. Those are palm trees. And then I also realized the scenes where Dr. Loomis is kind of like on the rural side street and he's like tracking down the vehicle that Myers stole. I was like, yeah, that looks awfully sandy and dusty. Like, Illinois does not look like the topography
And when they do have mountains or some type of rolling hills that's more typical for Illinois, you can kind of see it doesn't really meld too well. It's very much a background drop.
Yeah.
That is very easy to tell, especially when you get to a lot of the scenes, too. They don't do a good job of hiding the fact that you're in L.A.
No, the
L.A. parking, so especially in this scene that we're talking about to talk about, we get introduced now to Lori, Linda, and Annie. They're kind of three friends, and they're all walking home from school together. Mm-hmm. And they taunt Myers as he drives by, and he kind of creepily stops the car, and that's about that. But while they're walking down, wide-ass street, LA.
Yeah.
You see a ton of LA parking signs because LA parking signs are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, you will see on the curbs.
Yeah,
there's two things on the curbs. There'll be the red at the end of intersections to tell you that you can't park there or by fire hydrants.
Yep.
As well as the numbers.
Yes.
So LA, they tend to print their numbers on the curbs of the street to kind of tell you where the numbers start on that street.
Yeah.
As well, something else I didn't tell you about either. They do a weird thing, especially around this time, because they kind of got away from it because they didn't really have storm sewers.
Yeah.
What they would do is they would angle the streets and kind of make a V in the middle. There's a couple of scenes where you've actually probably seen there's like a little trough in the middle of the road.
Yes.
That was really popular in LA because they didn't really have proper storm sewers.
Right.
They still don't really. That's why their roads flood every other time. Mm. I hated driving in the rain. No one could figure it out. Especially, I lived in Glendale and had to commute to Culver City. Anyone who knows anything about LA geography knows that's terrible.
Yeah, I can attest to that. That is terrible.
Yes.
So that was something that we were noticing. It's funny because I guess I didn't notice it too much upon, like, all the first times I had seen this movie. And then when we were rewatching it for this podcast, I was like, yeah, those are awfully tropical plants. Like,
well, and then another scene in particular that I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Mm-hmm. We're not really missing too much here.
No.
Myers being creepy. A couple weird things where he's kind of lurking around.
Aggressive synth music to aggressive accompany that.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Especially, like, there's a lot of taunts with Laurie as well. He's kind of like, she comes home from school, she sees him.
Yeah.
Thinks that he's calling her. Yeah, there's a lot of things like that. We also, very briefly before I continue on to my next thought, Judith Myers' grave is dug up. And again, this is another weird thing. The psychologist is just doing everything with the investigation.
Yeah, he's just doing all just of the legwork. And I'm like, this is not your job. This would not be your job. This is in no way your job. Yes, you would be consulting. Don't get me wrong. That was his psychiatrist, his main doctor for like 15 years. Okay, fine. But someone would have gone to the cops. The cops should have done an investigation. And then they would be like, okay,
what can you... Or put more cops in the city.
And then the cops would have been like, okay, tell us what you know about Myers. Like, that's really how the whole thing should have gone down.
Yeah. Going back to the whole L.A. thing, something a little bit later, when everyone's babysitting on Halloween, which also is another weird thing, but while they're all kind of babysitting their appropriate houses, one of them spills butter on themselves making popcorn and goes to the laundry room.
Yeah.
And the laundry room's in a separate house, in a separate building.
Yeah, because
they don't have basements. Yes. Basements are not popular in Los Angeles because, again, you dig under and there's your water.
Yes.
And also, it's just not very cost-effective. Like, no. Especially with earthquakes, basements are not fun.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that's like, if they're supposed to be Illinois, I don't know much about Illinois, but I would assume that they're very similar to southwestern Ontario, where they either have a basement or their washer, dryer, laundry unit is in the same house building.
Exactly.
Anyways, going back to the chronological order of the movie, now we're getting into the psychologist going back to investigate Myers' house because he's kind of thinking there's a link there.
Mm-hmm.
At least this time he brings a cop with him.
Yeah.
He brings a sheriff, which also the sheriff is also Annie's father.
Yes.
So sheriff, what's his name?
Brackett.
Lee Brackett.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. We remembered.
We remembered him. He is Annie's father. And so he goes with him to investigate the house, Myers' house.
Yep.
And no one is really believing the psychiatrist.
No.
About how dangerous he is, which I'd be like, they believe him right now to kind of go investigate him and also offered support, but you're not believing him and thinking that he's this dangerous person.
But also, here's what I don't like about this. The murder that Mike Myers as a child did is only 15 years ago. Yeah, I know 15 years is a lot, but this cop is like... clearly in his late 40s, early 50s.
Well, and on top of that,
you're gonna tell me that, hold on, you're gonna tell me that this guy doesn't remember a child, literally a child
who is probably only a few years older than his own kid, because the kid's in high school, clearly.
Yeah, stabbing this poor like teenage girl to death on Halloween night, seriously, in a small town. You're gonna tell me this guy randomly just doesn't remember that? He almost makes it sound like he has no idea who this Mike Myers kid is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like, I think you would even remember something like that. Even in a bigger city, you would be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was
there are big, like, Toronto murder cases where we're like, we still know about them, even though they ended, like, they've been resolved years ago.
Yeah, you still, like, some of these are so big that they make the news and you're like, oh, yeah, that sticks with you. And I'm sorry, but, like, kids killing other kids... Yeah, you tend to remember those things.
That would stay in the media and be ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, next to the next thing that I have an issue with. I don't know about you, but in high school, Halloween was a perfect time for parties.
Yes.
Why are they all just babysitting?
Well, I think they're just trying to set it up as like, yeah, they would love to all like get together and go to a party or something. But like, what are they supposed to do? Like, if you have a babysitting gig and... you're being told, like, you have to babysit, right?
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, I would have just told them, like, no, I'm not available that day.
I think it's a different time. I don't think you had an option. I feel like my own mother is going to be listening to this and going to be like, no, disagree. I would have not had
disagree
an option.
That.
Matt. Like, I would have not had an option. If somebody told you, like, no, you're babysitting that kid, you'd be like, oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, I guess I did it, but it was never as big of a thing for me.
I think it's a different era.
So now we get to the laundry scene. So now Laurie is kind of, they're all kind of calling each other because they all kind of have all plans to meet up after. Yeah. At least they are planning to meet up after.
Lori is the good kid, and her other two friends are kind of the shitty bad kids.
Yeah.
And they have friends to kind of, like, shirk their babysitting responsibilities quite a bit.
Yeah, the other two are like, oh, I'm gonna bring my
boyfriend
over, yeah. And we're basically just gonna let them watch TV and not look after them.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that's nice.
But they all kind of call each other, because they're all, like, in, like, houses next
close
to
vicinity.
Yeah, around,
yeah.
Like, the next few houses all across mm-hmm. from each other. And this is where we get the scene of Annie doing laundry again. I don't care for that. Like, so, oddly enough, I do like the scene in the sense of it has the cool horror things because you can see Myers in different places.
Yeah.
I don't like how, again, they alert you to them by, like,
yes, the
music.
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
So, pros to the next couple scenes with Annie. Like, Annie spills butter on her clothes. She has to change. She has to do laundry because of it.
Yeah.
So, pros to this is it puts her in weird places where you think, like, oh no, like, when's it gonna happen? When's she gonna get killed by
Again,
Myers? And actually, they don't kill her at the first possible.
Not even the second
spot.
One.
Not even the second one. It's actually good. They do keep the suspense going a little bit, but then they kind of let it fall because the weird, the background score kind of lets you know when it's really gonna happen.
Yeah. I do like that idea of them not really making it clear
how
and when. And that happens again later with Lori.
Yeah. So Annie is the first one to get killed. We'll say that.
And she gets called by Paul, the mm-hmm. boyfriend.
Yeah.
Saying that she needed to go pick him up. Again, that's a nice boyfriend. You need to pick me up.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that line next time I need a ride.
Thank you.
No problem. And so she gets into the car and she, again, the score kind of starts up, and she's kind of clued in something's off because all the inside windows are fogged, and then, boom, she's killed.
It is really good. Like, it's a good scene.
It's
I
a good
like
scene,
how she does.
However, her acting is atrocious.
Oh, my God, the screams.
The screams and the weird cross-eyed thing that she does.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to critique how someone dies here. Don't get me. Don't. I mean, a little bit. But
a little bit, yeah.
But in a film world, not in real life here.
They just don't get it right.
They just don't get it right. It's,
that's
I get,
the thing.
As for it being, like, a slasher horror...
I know.
It's too silly.
The blood parts of it are good.
The blood parts are good, and the kind of graphic nature of it, of, like, showing you how she's
being
killed.
And the way that Myers, like, creepily sneaks up on people and kills people, that part is really good. I just don't like how all the people who get murdered, their screams are really weird or weak or, like, non-existent. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you'd be screaming if you were getting stabbed.
Or they weren't screaming at all. Like, I think in...
Oh, when
in
the
Annie's
guy...
case, well, I think in Annie's case, she barely screams.
No, she's getting strangled, so she's like, just like, she's making these weird whimpering noises.
Coughing sounds?
It's not good.
No.
No.
So, she's dead. She's hella dead.
Yeah.
And now, this is another weird thing, is the doctor is like, I'm just going to wait at Myers' house. I think he's going to come back here.
Yeah.
And literally all he does, while he is the one who's also said that he's going to be on a rampage kind of killing everyone... or trying to, like, target the town. He's like, no, instead of protecting the town, I'm going to stay at the house.
Yeah, he does just, like, this quiet stakeout at Myers' old house.
Right.
Weird move.
And then, on top of it, now the police are getting involved saying that they're thinking that somehow it's his... Like, I think they end that conversation with, like,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, you shouldn't have let him escape.
Yeah,
and it's like, what? He was just driving his... like, he was out.
Yeah.
He wasn't even involved at the hospital or prison thing when that happened. That was another weird miss for me, being like, what?
Yeah, it was really strange. Like, they almost couldn't figure out who they were going to blame. And almost like this psychiatrist is, like, taking the blame for it. And it's like, well, he didn't let them out. They had already escaped, and then they got attacked.
Yeah, like, that's not his responsibility.
Yeah.
But anyways... Now going back to the story, Linda, the other friend, is with her boyfriend
mm-hmm.
and goes to Annie's house to meet up.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, you know, waiting for everyone to finish babysitting so they can all kind of hang out. Myers is still at the house and he's kind of watching everyone like a creeper because Linda is, like, getting down with it with her boyfriend there on the couch and Myers just kind of standing there.
Well, the other really strange thing about this is so... Linda and her boyfriend go over to the house that Annie is babysitting at. And when they go over, she's not there. And so they're like, meh, might as well just go upstairs and have sex. And it's like,
well, but they
what?
do call They do call Lori first.
They call Lori. I know. But it's just really weird.
It is really weird because they're only concern is the kid Lindsay not being there.
Yeah.
And at this point, before Annie died, mm-hmm. Lindsay got whisked over to Lori's and got kind of pawned off on Lori.
Yeah. So now Lori is now babysitting two Tommy kids. And
Lindsay.
Yeah.
And so now when they hear word, Linda hears word that Lindsay's not going to be there for the night, they're like, perfect. We have the whole house to ourselves.
Yeah.
Also, what person in high school would think that I'm at my friend's house, they're not here, they know, like, their parents know that I'm not supposed to be here, so let's have sex in their house.
Yeah, and again, I could almost understand that if we're talking about a big party type of
setting. Like a big setting, party event.
I'd be like,
but not close friends.
Okay, but, like, you just go over to your random friend's, not even your friend's house.
Right, it's Lindsay's house.
Yeah, it's Lindsay's house. It's your little friend's girl.
Babysitting kid's house.
Yeah. And then you're going to go to the parents' bedroom. It's very all strange. Very strange.
Now, that leading into that kind of very strange thing, they, you know, hook up in the house, mm-hmm. weirdly. Yeah. And they go downstairs. And this is the thing I don't get. I mean, I have a hard enough time navigating the house. My own house.
Yeah.
I don't have a house. It's Toronto. We rent. I have a hard time navigating the apartment mm-hmm. in the dark as is with minimal lighting. How are they navigating a house they have probably not been in that often?
Very limited knowledge of. In the dark. Yeah.
In the dark.
Yeah. So the scene that you're referring to is boyfriend finishes having sex with dumb Linda.
Yes.
He goes downstairs to get them a beer or something. And he's rummaging around in this completely pitch black kitchen. And yeah, I said the same thing. I'm like, I can barely do that in our kitchen. And I know exactly where the glasses are and the fridge is and everything. And there he is just dinking around in the dark. And I'm like,
how would you know where any of this is?
And he wouldn't. It's literally just a scene to set up so that he's in the dark so that Mike Myers can be in there with him hidden.
So now, not shocking to anyone, the boyfriend gets killed.
Yeah, in a really weird way.
He gets hung by the throat, up in the air, kind of like Darth Vader style.
Yes.
And pinned up against the wall, and then he gets stabbed
in the gut.
Stabbed in the gut. And again, no screams, no nothing.
No, not even a peep.
I'm not a medical expert here, but unfortunately, a stab to the gut won't kill you instantly.
No.
Like, you'll bleed out before you really actually, and they kind of make it look like he's, stabbed and he's dead.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But here's the other thing. His body is oddly suspended to the wall.
Yeah, so he gets stabbed in the stomach, in the abdomen.
Yes.
And the knife is supposed to go, through the wall and holding him up.
Which it's not. The knife is not big enough for that.
The knife's not big enough.
We'll give them that. We'll ignore that fact.
But ignoring that, his entire head is, pinned up against the wall.
Perfectly upright.
Against the wall. And I'm sorry, once you're dead, it's just going to go limp.
Everything just sort of you lose
he's
control.
Gonna, yeah, he's going to lean forward. And also that knife, even if it was long enough, would mm-hmm. not be enough to suspend him in the air.
Yeah. And just upright. His whole upper body would have been completely slumped over. If not to the sides, definitely to the front.
Yeah.
And then the weight of him, he would have just fallen on the ground. Yeah. I wish that that had happened. I wish he would have just, thud on
collapsed,
the ground.
Collapsed, yeah, after.
Yeah, that would have been at least slightly realistic. But no, he just sort of hung there.
But it's then on top of it, odd. Too, then we come back to this house after, and there's no signs of any,
no knife imprint,
no blood.
I know.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Myers goes upstairs, dressing up as the boyfriend in a ghost sheet.
Yes.
This is, again, at least this is, I don't mind this one being a little silly, because this is supposed to be a little kooky and showing how kind of clever, quote, Myers is.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind this.
But the acting, though.
Oh, it's bad. Her acting.
Her acting is atrocious in the scene, no offense, but it's just, it's not good.
No, I know.
And she gets killed, tits out.
Yeah, well, a lot of the girls get killed tits out, and so, babysitter in the first scene, she's brushing her hair nude for some reason. No female has ever done that. No, especially when they're babysitting in that house. Yeah. No, that's so weird. There's a lot of random nudity.
Well, that's supposed to be the sister, though. That one's not as bad.
I know. But there's a lot of random nudity.
Yeah.
for no reason. It's just very gratuitous.
Yeah. But now Laurie has a heckin' concern. Because she sees all the lights are out across the street. And she knows that they're supposed to be... Annie's supposed to be coming back, and Linda's over there.
Yeah.
So she tries to call them.
No answer.
Oh, sorry, no. Linda gets killed while she's on the phone.
Yes.
But she doesn't really hear anything, again, because apparently Linda can't scream while she's being murdered. But...
None of these people can scream. It's very weird. It's
very strange.
Yeah.
So she tries to call back, and of course there's no answer. So now she's concerned. Now we kind of cut back to the doctor seeing the car that was used, and again, mm-hmm. doesn't alert anyone, and just tries to run himself.
Yeah.
To solve it.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
So, Laurie, being the good friend that she is,
yep.
goes over to the house to try to check on Annie and Linda. Yep. Now, at least, so this is the thing that I don't get, is like, Laurie's kind of doing things that are more sensible, yeah. but everything else around her is kind of making no sense.
Yeah, I know.
Now she kind of gets into the house. One thing that I notice is that she never used her key to lock the door,
yeah,
leaving.
Yeah, it's an error.
But then when Myers is kind of like, after she leaves the house and runs back to her original, like...
to Tommy's house.
Yeah,
she's locked out. Later she finds the door is locked and she's locked out of the house. And I'm like, oh, that's a bit
but
of a...
But she never locked on the way out. That's a bit of a continuity error there.
Yeah.
Again, things that I notice. Mm-hmm. But... So she goes over there, and she essentially finds all of her friends. She goes up into the bedroom, thinking, because that's the one light that's on.
Yes.
She sees the headstone, the tombstone. Tombstone? Headstone?
Headstone. So the scene is really strange. Like, how Laurie finds the body.
Bodies, yeah.
Myers has essentially set up Annie's dead body in the shape of a cross, so her arms are out, stretched out in an awkward way. And he has stolen the headstone from Judith Myers's
grave
site. So that's the girl that he killed.
Yep.
And basically then you're learning that that's his sister.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. that's his sister.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
It's very odd. Also, they don't make it very clear because in one time you hear mother and then daughter... Anyways, I find them very confusing at times, and you don't realize until you read the headstone that it says, our beloved daughter.
Yeah.
Anyways, mm-hmm. that was a little confusing for me.
Yes.
And then basically, it's kind of, again, this is kind of comical how she sees her friends. She sees Annie and starts, like, screaming.
Screaming, yeah.
And then the boyfriend is, like, weirdly, like, suspended and happens to, like, full-on, like,
just
high bar, flip down.
Oh, it's so weird. And then, randomly... A closet door opens miraculously, and that's where Linda's body is.
Yes.
And it's like, but nobody else is in the room with her. Nobody's opening these doors and pulling these latches down. Like, the way that she's discovering the bodies mm-hmm. is, again, like, very slapstick-esque, yeah. right?
So she gets nearly stabbed and gets her arm slashed,
mm-hmm.
and she... catapults off the stairs and is yep. like, now at least good for her, she's doing a good job. I would
she
say
runs.
Oddly enough, Jamie Lee Curtis's acting is the best.
It is
out of this whole thing.
Oh yeah, like it is the best.
Yes, so she's doing a really good job, and I'd say her voice acting is doing a really good job too. And meanwhile, she's the only one kind of had a career after all. It's just
yeah,
sad.
I mean, I'm sorry, but we are talking about like Jamie Lee Curtis's. I don't know. Is this? I think it's her debut. I think this is her first.
Yeah, because I think in the beginning it said like introducing Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah.
So we're talking about her first movie, and certainly everybody knows she went on to be like a very successful actress. Can't really say the same about her fellow like friends here.
So one thing that I remember in this is that all the music shows of where Myers is in this scene were just so distracting. I'm just like. I'm trying to stay interested in, like, what Laurie is doing
mm-hmm.
and how she's escaping. But, again, it's just kind of pointing to different things. Now, also, this is very bizarre to me because I feel like, yeah, this might happen in Toronto or New York or any other big city where people are just going to kind of ignore you and think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But in a small town, and especially in a residential area, I'm sorry, this also wouldn't happen in Toronto in a residential area.
Yeah.
If someone was screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
Top of their lungs, asking for help.
Yeah. Like, even now,
someone would at least, like, call 911. They may not let them in.
Yeah. But they might even just, like, yell at the window, like, hey, I'm just a little scared, but I've called 911.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye at you from here.
Right?
Right.
It's odd. So, Lori is banging on people's doors, asking for help, saying that someone is chasing her and following her. She's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And people are literally seeing her and ignoring her. And I'm like, yeah. Wow.
So she finally makes it back to her Tommy's house where she was babysitting. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the comical thing where she's now locked the door and can't find her keys.
And Myers
But again,
is,
she never locked the door to begin with.
Myers is slowly, quickly walking, advancing on her. And I say slowly because, like, he's got the typical slow serial killer walk. So he's just
like
very slowly walking, but yet he makes all this advancement.
Mm-hmm.
So then she gets into the house just in the nick of time, of course.
But then notices all the windows are open.
Yeah. So then he makes his way in.
And she stabs him in the neck.
Yeah, they have a pretty good... Yeah, they got a pretty good scuffle. She ends up stabbing him in the neck with a knitting needle.
Great. Maybe that's where M. Night Shyamalan got his idea for The Happening. No.
Man, no.
No.
No. We can't give him any kind of credit.
Can't even put The Happening into this
review. No, we cannot.
We hate The Happening. Anyways. So, now, here's the thing I don't like about this part of the movie. I do enjoy that Laurie is, like, legitimately fighting him off.
Yeah.
Like, using tools around her to her advantage.
Yeah.
But he has a knife. And he drops it.
She does the dumbest thing.
So she grabs the knife.
Yeah.
And is like, oh, he's dead. I can leave the knife here.
And then puts the knife down.
Puts the knife down.
And then proceeds to slowly walk away. And then what happens?
Of course, he's not dead.
No, because you know what? This also starts the era of, and unfortunately it continued on for fucking decades.
Yeah.
This starts the era of superhuman villains.
Yes.
Here's the thing that I don't like about this. Mike Myers is just supposed to be a person. Yeah, I know he's truly a psychopath, and I'm not saying he's a good person, but he's just supposed to be a normal human being, like
yes.
you and me and everybody else. He's not supposed to have any, like, superhuman, supernatural powers. He's literally just supposed to be a guy who's psychotic,
yeah.
right? So, like, why can he withstand
all these
like, horrible beatings and, right? like... Knitting needle to the neck, stabbings,
fine,
gets up and walks away, and it's like, oh my god, why is he superhuman?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
So, okay, but now going back to this scene, like, not only does he just not die, it's so,
no.
Lori keeps, like, killing him, quotes.
Mean, she keeps, like, fighting back.
And, like, but then, like, then she's in the closet and stabs his eyes out.
Yep.
And has the knife and is like, cool, this is fine, puts it down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. You just, like, the first time this happened, you thought you killed him.
Yeah.
Maybe,
I can understand
maybe
one.
Hold on to the knife the second time, just in case.
Yeah, but what does she do?
She leaves it beside him again.
Yeah, and of course.
And of course, he fucking gets
dead.
Up.
Yeah.
And this is the scene again where I actually think this is the best scene of the whole thing.
Yeah.
They don't alert you to him kind of rising up.
Yeah, it's actually really creepy.
And she's, like, really relieved and sitting, like, standing in the doorway.
Yeah.
And she is now getting strength. She's like, oh, fuck. She's done now. She
done
goofed.
There's this moment where you actually think she might die.
Yeah. And then the doctor barges in. You see that he's noticed something, like the kids screaming out of the house. So he's like, maybe I should
go check this house. Yeah.
And of course, like every doctor has, he uses his gun that was issued to him from the doctor's board and kills Mike Myers with that. America.
I believe you said to me, why would a doctor have a gun? And I was like, Matt, you're not asking the right question. It's just, I think he's just an American citizen.
Who has a gun.
Who has a gun. I think that's somewhat
that's just
common.
That's.
Yeah.
That's a kind of foreign concept to us here in Canada.
It is. Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, so the doctor just ends up shooting the guy, and he falls out of the window to the ground, and you see there's dead Mike Myers.
He shoots him like five times.
Five times. Falls out of the second story of a house.
Yeah. And he's on the ground, and you're unconscious, and you're thinking, okay.
All right, this is it.
This is it.
And then, sure enough, the doctor goes to check up on him, and dun 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 dun, dun, dun he's gone.
Of course.
I had to do it.
I know.
At least lots of this for you.
It's perfect.
So, and that's it. And I do, again, I don't hate the ending.
No,
the thing
it's
I
good
don't
ending.
Like, though, is, like, the chief never finds out that his daughter's dead.
I know, they don't,
like,
there's so much that they don't
there's
show.
There's so much they don't show. It's just kind of like, oh, that's it.
Well, they don't really show much discovery at all. Like, the only person who actually discovers that people have died
is
Lori.
Oh, Lori, yeah, and the doctor, kind of.
Yeah, but really just Lori. Lori's the one who discovers, like, that her friends have been killed. No one else really knows.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that they left it open. The sequel's eh. Oh my god. But I mean,
So many sequels.
But I don't mind the new one. The new one's not too bad.
Yeah, I like the new one. With Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep,
it's, and it wraps it up nicely. It wraps up the entire series.
And it kind of fixes the plot holes that were in this
one. It does, for sure.
Now, overall, I like the storyline. I like the attempt at the storyline. I just find there's too many holes in it.
Yes.
Granted, that might have been a director's choice issue. That could have been a time issue for, like, the area and the budget they were working in.
Yep, but definitely.
Hated the music. I mean, the theme. The individual themes I don't hate musically. Yeah. The score. Actual overall score. I'm like, why are we using the same five cues?
Yeah.
The ADR and the editing is, meh.
Nah, it's not good.
Acting's not the greatest. And just in general, I just found that, like, the interesting parts kept me, but then I got distracted by, like, It just kind of got me in different ways. So, those were kind of my takeaways from it. What about you?
So, I have basically the exact same critiques. I really, most people's acting, except for Jamie Lee Curtis's, I don't know, that's not very good.
Yeah.
I do like Myers.
Yep.
As a villain.
Oh, I forgot to mention. So the reason there are two people that play Myers. Sorry, yes. I didn't mention this. We got through the whole review and I didn't bring this up. Mm-hmm. So there are actually two people that play Michael Myers.
The guy who's under the mask, who we normally see.
Yeah.
That's one person. That his name is, what was it, Nick
Castle.
Yeah.
And then there is, what's the other guy's name?
It was Tony Moran. Yeah.
He played Michael Myers without the mask on, so when he's escaping or things where he doesn't have his mask on.
Because there's this brief moment where I think it's Laurie ends up pulling his mask off.
Yeah.
And you do see his face kind of in the dark a little bit, but you see his face.
Yeah, those are the two moments. I don't know why they used two.
I don't even know why you'd use two people. If you're going to use that Tony Moran's stature, I don't know.
Yes,
but it's like if you're going to use Tony Moran's face, why don't you just have it be his body?
Him do the whole thing?
So strange. He's under a mask the whole time.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have the budget to make two masks. Those are expensive.
Maybe it must have been body type because there's got to be something to that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. It's very odd. I mean, I landed in basically the same place. Here's the thing. I have a hard time giving this film a really bad score.
I don't.
I know you don't. Because of nostalgia.
See, now here's the thing. Because I'm judging it on the film itself and not necessarily the acclaim that came with it or the feelings that came with it, kind of like Rocky Horror, as much as I feel bad about giving the scores that I do, I'm judging it on the piece that I'm seeing.
I know.
So these are going to be our scores. We're going to kind of go into our score portion now. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know yet, we do a total score out of 100, and we kind of break them down evenly into the following categories.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be judging it on the overall story, acting, any visual effects, music and sound effects, and the movie ending and satisfaction rate.
Mm-hmm.
That will include, like, nostalgic, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, for those reasons, however, I'm giving this a 60.
Yes.
It's just, the score was too distracting.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline is good, however, kind of...
Bad at the same time.
Like, there's things that I like about it, and there's things I don't like about it.
Yep.
I do like that it is nostalgic. Like, it does have that sense of, like, this is a Halloween horror classic.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That's kind of where it bumped it up, because really, unfortunately, the acting and some of the visual effects with the ADR were just so distracting to me.
Yeah.
That's why it's so low. I still think, however, I would recommend it as a watch for that nostalgic reason.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind that it's not this amazing horror film like Hereditary, like these kind of weird new things that are very clean, very professional. Like, there are scenes where I'm like, that's West Hollywood. That's Pasadena.
Yeah. That's...
Like, that. There's a parking sign that tells you that you can't park here between, like, 3 and 2.
Because,
you know, time goes backwards in L.A. because for parking, because it makes no sense. Anyways.
There are palm trees in the background.
There are palm trees in the background when you're in Illinois.
Yeah.
Things like that I can't get past. And unfortunately, for those reasons, that's how I landed on that score.
So, I landed on a 70, but that's a...
A generous 70?
That's a generous 70. Let me be very clear. I think if I was to just see this movie today with no prior knowledge, I think it would be even lower than Matt's 60. I think it would probably land somewhere in the 50 range.
You're saying I'm being generous. That's a shock.
Yeah. However, I give it such a high score because of the satisfaction that you get from nostalgic viewings.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right? And there's a certain amount of, like, it's not scary. I don't really find it scary. I really don't. But, like, there's a certain amount of comfort that you get from watching nostalgic things. And that's how I feel about this one. It's fun because it's Halloween. Does that make sense?
It's like Rocky Horror.
Yes.
It's fun because that is kind of the quintessential thing that you do.
It's literally Halloween. It's not only is it in the title, but it's like they've made it so Halloween, quote unquote. Like they've made it so stylized in a certain way that that's how I view it in my mind.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I can see that.
So that's why I have to give it a 70, but that's a really personal score. If I was literally just sticking to it,
on the bare bones movie I just watched it, this
I
is
think
my review.
I would have landed on like a 50 or something, because like it really does have some very weak points.
Well, yeah, and that's why I went up at the 62. Yep. It's hard for me to forget those things.
I think it's fun. I think it's a fun nostalgic watch, especially this time of year. Yeah, watch it. It's fun. It's kooky. It's weird, and you can certainly make fun of it, and you can certainly, like, you know, poke all kinds of theory holes in it.
Yeah, but I mean, at the bare bones, when you're enjoying the movie for what it is, just kind of a super quick horror movie that has such a name and sense of nostalgia to it, it is a good watch. I will say that. It gets the job done.
Yeah, I agree. So, for our next episode, we'll be returning to our regular 2-week schedule. And it conveniently corresponds with the calendar date that it's coming out on.
That was a complete coincidence. 100%, we didn't plan that.
No planning at all went in on that. So we're going to be discussing Friday the 13th. Thanks so much for joining us once again on
Dark Room Reviews.